League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Packers fans, and welcome into the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and Packers News. I'm Cassidy Hill, joined by Tom Silverstein and Ryan Wood. Guys, welcome back in.
Great to be here.
Tried to find Odell Beckham Jr. for this podcast, but I couldn't find him.
We thought we heard his car coming down the road, and then it took a quick about face and went the complete opposite way. Guys, I think he got as far away on the other side of the map as he could. If you haven't heard, Odell Beckham Jr. has agreed to terms with the Los Angeles Rams after a mild flirtation with the Green Bay Packers. He winked and waved across the school gym and then went out the back door with the girl he really wanted to dance with, apparently. Guys, were you shocked to hear the news that OBJ went to the Rams, especially after it seemed like he was really sort of down to the Packers and the Patriots?
Well, how'd you go with that, Spoon?
Yeah, well, so there were so many reports out there that I don't know what was really true. I think there were a lot of teams, a bunch of teams involved, and I don't think it was down to, you know, a couple until probably today. NFL Network reported it was down to the Packers and Rams today. I think he waited. I think he was hopeful for more money than he probably got, but it wasn't there. People weren't jumping all over him. And then I think with the money, he had to really decide what was the best place for him. And maybe he just felt he was going to be second, third, fourth fiddle in Green Bay. Whereas in LA, you know, they got Cooper Kupp and then him. And he's probably the number two guy there now. I mean, they have other wide receivers, but, you know, he's got a chance to be pretty prolific there, I think.
I don't doubt that.
I'm going to disagree, Tom. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ryan.
I don't doubt that it's about 2021 money. Or I don't doubt that's about money, but I don't think it was about 2021 money. I think it's about 2022 and future money. Mm-hmm. You look at if he comes here to the Packers, he's – Devontae Adams still getting his 15 targets a game. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is throwing to that guy. Devontae Adams is also in a contract year. Devontae Adams is going to want 15 targets a game, as he should. The difference in money for 2021, infinitesimal. I mean, it's not a big deal. But the difference potentially when you prorate it, if he has a really good showing in L.A. with Matthew Stafford being more featured in that offense, Odell Beckham Jr. puts himself in a much better position for a next payday. I mean, he's about to be 30 years old. He's at that time in his career where there might be one more big payday to go. I've got to think that had to play some part in the decision.
Sure. I mean, he wants to go where he thinks he can have a big year. And assuming he wants to win a Super Bowl too, most of the teams he was picking were contenders. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I'll be really interested to hear how he frames it and how honest he is about it. So, Cassidy, you were going to say you don't think.
I'm interested to see, how he does sort of break down what went into his decision, because I think he's further down the depth chart in L.A. than he would be in Green Bay. I could be wrong, but I don't know if I would underestimate the rest of LA's receiver core like that. I think it's more than just Cooper Kupp. Yes, it is Cooper Kupp, as that's their hinge, but it's Cooper Kupp, it's Woods, it's Jefferson, it's everyone else that Sean McVay can kind of bring in for a game and feature. You know, he's really good with tight ends. I think OBJ at best is third in LA. Whereas here, I think he could have easily fought to be number two behind Adams. Again, I could be wrong, but I don't know if there's as much. I don't think the separation between Cooper Kupp and the rest of the Rams receiver unit is as wide as it is between Adams and the rest of the receiver unit here. I think OBJ could fit into it better. Also, they are both contenders, but in LA, you're looking at you're having to fight out of your division against Arizona. Whereas here, you're you know, as long as you don't, I don't know if I can say that word on the ways, as long as you don't crap the bed, you're going to win your division here. And so it's, I would think it would almost be a little bit of an easier road out of Green Bay. I think what it came down to, all of that to say, I think what it came down to, in addition to maybe the money aspect, is the culture. You know, we talked about where will OBJ and his big personality fit in the best. You know, can he slide into her? And that's not a slide against Green Bay, but I mean, he lives in LA a lot of times in the off season. That's where he spends most of his time. I think he's comfortable there. He wouldn't have to necessarily move. He knows he can keep up the lifestyle to which he has become accustomed. And that he wasn't getting that in Cleveland.
I don't think there's any question that the difference between LA and Green Bay is much more in tune with what Odell Beckham Jr. is looking for. Now, look, it's less than half a season at this point. So if he wants to, you know, go someplace that puts him in the best position long term, I would think that he would sacrifice that for a half season. Not long term. He's not going to be in Green Bay for the rest of his career, but for a half season, maybe. I would challenge you, I guess, on you know, I think that the gulf between Davante Adams and whoever would be the number two receiver, it is massive. It is more significant than any other offense in this league. The gap between him at one and anyone else at two. And I think that it goes for OBJ as well. Yeah, Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods, really talented receivers, and they're going to make a good trio with Odell Beckham Jr., with Matthew Stafford throwing the ball. But I do think that he's got a much better chance of being featured in that offense than he would in this offense, where it is Davante Adams' passing game and everyone else is, I mean, not even second fiddle. It's like fourth fiddle. The gap is huge between Davante Adams and everyone else.
Yeah. And I guess I'm agreeing with you there. I guess I was saying I thought he could fit into that gap behind Adams easier than he could fit into the gap behind Kupp, if that makes sense. Tom, sorry, I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. But I think one really critical thing here is that it's not just Davante Adams he's behind, but he's behind Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon too. And, you know, the Packers have been fairly committed to the run. I mean, they need to run more, but they're going to run more as time goes on. And Sean McVay is willing to chuck it up there. So I don't know. I think a lot of these things, especially culture, location, you know, the Packers are a little bit of a, I don't know how to say, they're a little tight, you know, like their locker room is tight. There's not a lot of personality. There's not a lot of big personalities there. Mm-hmm. They're really kind of, stale or boring, you know?
I want to throw a thought to both of you, because this is kind of, and I put it on Twitter earlier, but I mean, the question really is, how does this affect the Packers and their positioning within the NFC? Because instead of going here, he's going to another contender to represent this conference in the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That will travel here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and they're going to see him short enough, 17 days from right now. To me, if the Packers get David Bakhtiari, who's been activated this week, Jair Alexander and Za'Darius Smith back, they are better than the Rams with Odell Beckham Jr. and Von Miller. There's no question the Rams have been the biggest movers in season with Von Miller and OBJ. But in theory, the Packers could get three All-Pros back still for the second half of the season. If they're able to get all three of them back, and I'm curious what both of you think about this. But if they're able to get all three of them back, I still see them as being a better team than a Rams team with OBJ and Von Miller.
My thought on this is short, so I'll slide it in and then let Tom go. I think where you have to worry about more than anything with that team is can you, one, outscore them, and two, slow them down. I mean, Tennessee got after them with four, and that was all the difference in the world, just being able to rush four and drop everyone else. So if you get back Jair Alexander and Za'Darius Smith, that makes a huge difference. They would almost be more important to me in terms of facing the Rams than David Bakhtiari was, because as important as he is and as good as he is, we've seen that with Aaron Rodgers on the field, this offense can still move downfield and score. And you've got to be able to outscore them. But if you can outscore them and get at least two to three crucial stops, you can beat them. And to do that, Alexander and Smith are going to be a really, really heck of a lot important.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I guess I need to see more of the Rams to really know. I know that Tennessee,
they play in prime time every week.
Tennessee really got after them and really was physical with them and beat them up pretty good. And so Green Bay is starting to be a little bit more of that kind of team on defense. They've never been a physical defense, and I'm starting to see that now. So when they meet in a couple of weeks, we'll get a good idea of where they stand. And then who knows, they may meet in the playoffs. I am interested, you know, Joe Barry knows everything about their defense, and he probably knows a good deal about their offense. And so does LaFleur. You know, on the other hand, McVay knows everything about Joe Barry. So it's going to be a really, really good matchup. And we'll know more. I think we'll know more then. But first, the Packers got to play Seattle.
Let me ask you this one last question on the Rams then. If this is a game of Jimmy's and Joe's versus X's and O's, and we think that the Jimmy's and Joe's may sort of all cancel each other out with, if you get everybody back, who do you take, LaFleur or McVay?
Oh, in most cases, I would take McVay. I mean, he's kind of the godfather of the Rams type offense. LaFleur's kind of a hybrid between Shanahan. I mean, they're all in the same family. Mm-hmm. I don't know. LaFleur's got a better record, so maybe I would take LaFleur. I don't know. Well, it's Matt, pretty close.
Matt LaFleur won the game here at Lambeau Field.
He did
last season in the playoffs. So I don't know that you can go wrong. You know, a lot of times it is safer to take the teacher over the pupil, but you know, he was able to put 32 up and had a pretty good game plan for Aaron Donald. So, and obviously Aaron Donald was injured in that game as well.
But yeah. Is that not insane that the Rams have added so many pieces that it's like, oh yeah, Aaron Donald, by the way, best defensive player in the country. They also have him. Yeah. Guys, I'm going to throw a quick little audible at y'all before we move on. This has nothing to do with the Packers, and I don't think they're on the schedule, but I'm sure listeners enjoy news from around the NFL. Quick thoughts on the fact that the Carolina Panthers brought back Cam Newton. They walked back into the house with their ex and told their parents to forgive everything. What did you think when you heard that?
I wasn't all that surprised. I mean, I guess I just thought they know him. They need a quarterback, mm-hmm. and why not? I mean, he was pretty popular, I think, amongst their fans. Very. And so, you know, maybe they're thinking about selling tickets and selling merchandise. So that's really,
and the fact that Sam Darnold is a lot of thought,
but yeah, I think it'll be okay.
It's a coming home story. I don't know if it means much from a football standpoint, but it's a nice little coming home story.
I don't think it's going to turn their season around.
No. I'm always a fan of Cam, though, so happy for him. You spoke earlier about Aaron Jones and Dylan. If Sunday's weather report holds up, right now it's a 40% chance of snow, how much of this game plan comes down on their backs?
Well, who's the
quarterback? I've never been through a snow game, so y'all have to tell me how this works.
Yeah, who's the quarterback first? I think we need to talk about that first before we can get to the running backs, because their roles are different with each quarterback. You know, Aaron Rodgers has no problem throwing in the snow. He's never had a problem with throwing in bad weather. So, you know, if Seattle comes in and jams the box and Aaron Rodgers is playing, he'll throw. You know, and he'll throw to the backs, he'll throw to whoever. If Jordan Love is the quarterback, I think they're going to force the run a little bit more than they did, especially more than they did last week.
There's no question you force the run more if Jordan Love's the quarterback, right? But I think it's a
regardless of weather.
It's a run week either way. I mean, the Rams – or excuse me, the Rams. We've been talking about that.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, this week's opponent, not in 3 weeks. Are a bottom 10 rush defense. They've given up a lot of yards. And we've seen the Packers plenty of times, even with Aaron Rodgers, have a heavy run game attack. Seems like another good week to have that. Also, keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers hasn't played since October 25th. He's only had one practice since then. If he is cleared to play, it will be 24 hours before kickoff. He does have the extended exertion time to ramp up his physical fitness, but it's hard to, after dealing with COVID-19, it's hard to see him being in peak physical football shape.
Yeah. Ask Davante Adams about that.
Exactly. So it's a good week either way. It's going to be more with Jordan Love because, I mean, y'all saw last week, it's going to be more with Jordan Love, but even with Aaron Rodgers, I think this is a running week.
I'm glad you brought that up because it was something I wanted us to touch on. We've talked a lot about the fact that if he's cleared, Aaron Rodgers can be back in the building on Saturday and play Sunday. And Matt LaFleur said, you know, if he's here, he's the starting quarterback. I don't think anybody's really worried about the fact that he hasn't been through practice. He's done this for so long. He's going to be able to take on a game plan from afar. He knows what he needs to do to be ready for this game. But do you think it may shock even him that he might not be physically in the shape he thinks he will be? You know, I think you ask anybody that has to deal with COVID, even if it's just a mild symptom, it can zap your energy. Mm-hmm. And is there a possibility of him coming out here in the first quarter, playing like he normally would, and then getting back to the bench and being like, well, dang, I'm actually like really, really tired. You know?
Yeah. Well, I'm not a scientist or a doctor.
You stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night.
I did. Yeah. Once, mostly Marriott's though. I have read about the science and I know anecdotally that there's some people who have really struggled. I know that he's a top athlete who with a finely tuned body and system, but I don't know. I especially not being vaccinated, I don't know what effect it had on him. And I do know that he has not been doing much. He said as much, that he's been sitting around on the couch and doing yoga and going for walks. And Davante Adams said he pretty much just laid around the couch because he couldn't do anything else. And so he was really gassed. And I thought you could really see it in Davante Adams last week. I thought he didn't look anything like himself. So I think people's expectations are really high. And who knows, maybe he plays and he doesn't feel good and then they bring in Jordan Love. I don't know.
Do you think it had more Davante Adams last week to do with the COVID-19 layoff or the quarterback?
No, I thought he looked sluggish. Like I didn't see him winning routes like he normally does off the line of scrimmage, you know, on that deep ball that got picked off. He's usually gonna at least knock that down or get it. I didn't think he was very explosive. And he said, you know, he's walking back to the huddle. He never walks back to the huddle. So,
hands on his hips.
I don't know if it was COVID, but I do think it is part of it was at least being around the couch. I know he did get frustrated with Love, but I don't think it was that.
You know, I think Aaron Rodgers plays pretty well. I think he plays a lot better than Jordan Love did last week.
I don't know that he goes out there and puts on a vintage performance or anything. Like I said, I think it's a run week, but it's kind of tickled me to hear in the Packers verse a little bit, this idea that, hey, you know, could the Packers maybe want to get another game with Jordan Love and just would the Packers want to sit Aaron Rodgers? No, because Aaron Rodgers is going to be better than what Jordan Love was. And right now it's about winning games. It's not about anything but winning games, because this is the one and done all in season. So I think that there's no question that they're going to want Aaron Rodgers to play if he is able. And that is still an if, because he's still on COVID-19 reserve. But I think that's very, if you're looking at it from the Packers perspective, I think it's a very easy decision.
And then, sorry, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote in my column this week, and I still believe it, that they have to be sure that he can protect himself, that mm-hmm. he is physically capable of avoiding hits, of having enough endurance to do that. I'm sure, and Pat McKenzie will make sure that that's true. I mean, I don't think they'll throw him out there if they think he's a sitting duck. So I agree with you, Ryan, that you want Aaron Rodgers out there from a competitive standpoint. I just think you got to think big picture too. You if you're a little bit shaky and you're not sure about how he might take hits or whether he can escape, I'd be a little bit nervous about putting him out there, because it's a long season and you need him to win a Super Bowl. That we know.
Yeah. Must do a drive-by, or see if we can do a drive-by by Aaron Rodgers' house, see if he's in the yard, like running around, running routes with himself, or, you know.
I know he could come to my house and rake my leaves. That'd be a lot of exercise.
That'd be a very good test of his exertion. That's a good idea, Tom.
Yeah.
Great offer.
I'm a team guy.
We're putting that out there, Aaron Rodgers. If you want to test your, energy, come rake Spoon's leaves. On the opposite sideline, the Seahawks will get their guy back for sure. Russell Wilson cleared this week by his doctor after a finger break a couple of weeks ago. At the time, the doctor said it would take a minimum of 6 weeks for Russell Wilson to return. He did it in half. Did it in half of that. Some of that may have been standing on the sidelines watching them struggle through games. Not that Geno Smith did bad, but he's not Russell Wilson. Do you expect him to be vintage Russell Wilson, as Darnell Savage called him this week, slippery, and be able to still do everything? It's not like he had a foot injury or anything. In his non-throwing hand. Do you expect him to be the same old Russell Wilson on Sunday?
I think I would. It's a finger, right? So like mm-hmm. he's able to exercise. He's able to stay in shape. It's not a knee or a hamstring, something that really kicks him up.
No.
And what's Russell Wilson's game? His game is
his legs.
His game is that ability to get outside the pocket and be a playmaker. How he throws the ball, that's a big question. I don't know, but he, more than most quarterbacks, you know, outside linebackers coach Mike Smith said today that Russell Wilson to him is the second most dangerous quarterback in the NFL when it comes to extending plays, behind the obvious Lamar Jackson. But I thought it was a heck of a statement to put him ahead of Kyler Murray. I mean, that's in his mind, that's who Russell Wilson is. So yes, you got to be able to throw. That's a big question. But because of Russell Wilson's game, I think he's still plenty dangerous.
Yeah. I just want to see how he's spinning the ball until I see that. I mean, it sounds like in practice that he's looked fine. But you know, are there limitations? So for instance, you know, running, can he still throw it across the field? Mm-hmm. You know, can he throw it deep? Can he throw a dart on a slant? I think they have to just make sure they try to keep him in the pocket and sort of make sure that he's got to throw the ball over the offensive line. Don't let him get outside. And I think they can do the same thing they did to Kyler Murray and frustrate him. And to some degree, Mahomes, although that offense was so screwed up, I don't really know if that counts for anything. But Arizona's offense is for real. And I think that's the key. So I do want to see whether he's still spinning it. That's key.
no offense to Kyler Murray, but Russell Wilson is the OG when it comes to doing what he does. Kyler Murray is following in his footsteps. So maybe that's why the coach said that Russell Wilson was second behind Lamar Jackson. And also, I apologize. I misspoke a minute ago. The injury is on his throwing hand. I said his non-throwing hand, but it is the ring finger on his throwing hand. So it could make a difference. On the outside, they have Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. Tom, I know we've talked about this. I've talked about this with Pete. But we can go into it a little bit more in depth, and Ryan, get your opinion as well. Do you track a guy? Do you put your number one corner on DK? Do you put him on Tyler? Do you leave him on DK the entire game? Do you play zone? What's the best way to attack those two?
You go.
Go ahead, Ryan. Spoon, Pete, and I had all different opinions, so you can be the tiebreaker.
The big question is whether or not Eric Stokes is going to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, he had that fluky thing before kickoff Sunday that it was, I mean, just totally bizarre. He was back at practice on Thursday, so that's a good sign for him.
In pads, which is usually a good sign.
You can't put Kevin King on him. He's too slow. Eric Stokes, boy, do you want to expose a rookie to that over four quarters? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think that zone has a lot of merit when you're going against Russell Wilson, because you don't have backs. Your DB's backs turned to the quarterback. It's a lot better to keep it in front of you. So I think you're going to see a fair amount of zone just because of who the quarterback is, and it might play pay some dividends to not have a rookie go against DK Metcalf the entire game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now that you've given us, go ahead.
Yeah, no, go ahead. So
I was going to say, now that you've given us your opinion, we can tell you what ours were.
Yeah.
Pete said you play full zone. Tom said keep Stokes on Metcalf the entire time. I said play a mixed zone. Keep one corner on Metcalf with help if needed.
There you go. We got the game plan.
There you go.
Play a little of each.
Somebody write us all a check.
I think what they'll do, I agree that they're going to play zone. Seattle's getting Chris Carson back, one of their running backs, who's, when they have their running game going, they're so much better team. I don't know if Green Bay's going to have to bring any safeties up in the box the way they've been playing, maybe not. I think they probably will play zone and just try to keep Metcalf from getting behind them and Lockett. But within that zone, I would still put Stokes on Metcalf, because nobody they have can run with him. Rasul Douglas can't run with him. Kevin King, as you mentioned, can't run with him. I would want Eric Stokes at least, you know, with a safety over the top, I would want him running with
Metcalf. A lot of help.
Yeah.
A lot of help.
So you and I are on the same page.
Yeah.
We'll see. And if you do that, what do you do about Tyler Lockett? Because he's somebody that can still carve you up, especially across the middle.
Well, if you're playing zone, you've got that covered. I just think within the zone, I would want Stokes on Metcalf. I wouldn't want it when he's on. If he goes in the slot, then I just stick with Sullivan or King or whoever they put in the slot this week. But anytime he's outside and, you know, they flip sides, if he's on that side, then put Stokes on that side. If he's not, then put Stokes on the other side. I don't think that's as big a deal. They did that in Cincinnati with Jamar Chase. Mm-hmm. You know, they put Stokes and didn't play all man-to-man on there.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you, Tom. Let's look at the other side of the ball, or specifically with Stokes coming back. I know we've talked about this a little bit, but he was out there again today. He was listed on the injury report as a limited participant during the open viewing periods. He seemed to be completely involved. If he's back out there and you keep Douglas, or what do you do with Douglas? What do you do with Kevin King?
I think you put Kevin King probably in the slot, because that's where he's been. Rasul Douglas more fit for the outside. It's just weird. It's just weird because Kevin King's not a slot guy. So it's. I guess it's a good problem to have, because you got two quality corners there, and don't
don't hate me, Packers fans, for saying Kevin King is a quality corner. He's a fine cornerback. It's good to have on the field, but it's just weird in the slot. It's just weird for me.
Yeah, but let's not forget when he was last healthy, that's where he was playing. I mean, they had a game when Alexander got hurt and he had to move back outside, but that game before, they had deemed him the slot guy over Chandon Sullivan. So I don't know what they were going to do. I think they were probably, Jerry Grace said they were going to rotate those three guys, Douglas, King, and Stokes, outside, and Sullivan was going to stay inside. So I don't know what they're going to do here. As they say, it's a good problem, but maybe they do put King in there. Whoever they do put in the slot, you know, it's got to be someone who can tackle and can possibly blitz Russell Wilson, you know, to take some shots. I still think Darnell Savage needs to be near the line of scrimmage more than they play him.
Are they worried about his size there?
Maybe, but boy, I thought in that Kansas City game, he fit, you know, like he was not overmatched with Kansas City speed, and he was all over the field and he was close to the action. And the closer to the action is, I think he's a better player.
The only reason I ask about the size there is I was all on board with Jaire Alexander being in the slot and being in that star position until I saw him tackle Najee Harris.
Yeah.
And as soon as I saw that, I was like, wait, no, put him. Nope. Don't ever let that happen again. Put him on the perimeter of the field. He is way too valuable in coverage. It is by far the most important part of that position for him, what he brings to the table, and just let him take away half the field. Not that Darnell Savage is the same coverage DB as Jaire Alexander. There are very few of those guys in this league. But if it's a size thing, he on the back end, I mean, he's a rangy guy. You want him on the field. I think there's merit in protecting him from being inside.
That's a good point. That's a really good point.
Are they primarily in nickel, like majority of the time?
I don't think so. I think they're going to have to play some base against these guys because they got to stop the run game. They have to keep Russell Wilson from doing all the play action stuff. I mean, he's so good on play action, and they have to figure out a way to stop that. Now, maybe they go with nickel with three guys up front, you know, and just one linebacker, but they had a lot of success with Campbell and Barnes in the game together last week.
They did. You don't think they'll go with their five defensive line and maybe have Campbell be a spy and five DBs on the back, huh? I can see them doing that.
I honestly think they're going to be concerned about the run game. I know Seattle's going to put it in Russell Wilson's hands a lot, but I think they're also going to want to kind of start it out the way the Packers would want to start it out with, which is run the ball and try to establish the run. So I do think we'll see, we may see some nickel, but I don't know if it'll be five guys up front.
It's hard to put Chris Barnes off the field with the kind of game he just had in Kansas City. So I get it from that standpoint. He probably had his best game of the year. He was really, really good. Had the best hit anybody on this Packers defense has had all year on Darrell Williams at the goal line. That was as good of a tackle as you can see. It's hard. I just, from an athletic standpoint, if you're worried about Russell Wilson running around making plays, which is the biggest concern against this Seahawks offense, I could see them putting an extra DB and getting in zone and just being more athletic.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's possible. You know, they could take Barnes off the field and put in Henry Black or something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It may just be situational. I mean, Seattle's a very RPO-based offense. You have to have the run game to open that up. So maybe we see them switch just depending on situation. We've covered offense. We've covered defense. We've got to hit on special teams, which is arguably the most concerning aspect of this team right now. We saw special teams coach come in this week. That's the first time I've seen him speak. I walked around energized after hearing him. I was fired up, man.
He's a good dude. I mean, a good dude to listen to.
He was. He was very careful with his words to not place blame on anyone, but he pretty much spelled out what the problem was with the missed field goal and the blocked field goal against Kansas City. Did y'all walk away from that with the same understanding that I did?
He said that that Mason Crosby deserves better. I thought that that's what I came away with. And
like he explained all of the mechanics and then asked, is it the snap or the kicker? And he said, well, I told you, I'm not going to place blame on any of my guys, but I told you everything you needed to know. Made it sound like the snap.
I thought he dodged it with that whole story of describing the positions and what they need to do, because we know that, you know, you got to spin it perfectly and it's got to be the rotation and the holder has to put it down on a dime and, you know, the laces have to be this way and the blocking has to be. Yeah, no kidding. I mean, that's been going on for 50 years. We know that. Fix it. How are you going to fix it? That's what I wanted to know. And he basically said they're going to do some tweaking, but I don't know. Maybe they need a long snapper coach or a kicking coach to come in. I'm not saying he can't do it, but if he doesn't feel, you know, it's working, then you could do that.
I thought it was interesting how clammed up Marie Straton was today in general.
That's clammed up?
Yes. Just like you. I asked the guy who's the emergency punter and he wouldn't say it, even though Mason Crosby had a punt in Buffalo. He was awfully clammed up. What he did a lot of today was speaking in generalities. Mm-hmm. And
he didn't put the blame on anybody. But, you know, yeah, I agree with you, Cassidy, that you could go through that and understand that the long snapping is the problem.
I mean, everyone knows the long snapping is the problem. Right. They have eyes, you know, they literally just had a different long snapper for the first time last week. And then they missed two kicks. Like, that's obvious. To your point, Spoon, what are they going to do about it? Mm-hmm. There's no detail, no specifics at all on that. And it is a massive problem. They missed seven kicks.
Maybe they're going to line him up a little bit further back, like 5 inches, you know? So that the rotation gets there. Really, I wonder, I mean, every team does it the same mm-hmm. amount of 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage, but maybe they do. Maybe they move 5 inches or something like that, figure out a way, because what they're doing now is not working.
Y'all have been around the game longer than I have, so you can offer your opinion. But from what I've seen in his defense, very rarely does a special teams coach actually teach long snapping. They go to camps for that. They go to training for that. The special teams coach is more about, you know, situations, returns, things like that. He's not out there teaching him the certain spin rate on the ball. That's something they get trained for away from the game. So, Spoon, to your point, maybe they do bring somebody in, you know, like when you've got a guy suffering from the yips, you bring in a sports psychologist. When you've got a guy that can't snap the ball correctly, do you bring in a long snapping specialist? It's special teams win games. Mason Crosby has already won them an incredibly important game this year. You can't field goal special teams was the difference in the game versus Kansas City. You can't let that continue to fester and just hope it gets better. Not at this point in the season. It would have to be addressed.
Maybe they'll
yesterday.
Bring Brett Goode to come and tutor the guy for a little bit.
I thought you were going to say snap. I was No.
He's 5 years old.
I was going to say, wow. I mean, it can't probably be worse.
But he is
from a snapping standpoint.
Crosby's buddy. And so, you know, he might be willing to come in and help his friend out, even though he lives in Arkansas and basically lives in a tree stand, you know. I don't know.
He's got time.
Yeah, he's got lots of time. So
we're bringing in coaches. We're getting Aaron Rodgers to rake leaves. We're just solving all their problems today. Last thing on the special teams, Mo did stick up for Amari Rodgers, something that LaFleur told us he did during the game as well. Do you think that was the right move? So I'm going to let you go first.
Time will tell. He did respond with that decent return but I haven't seen a lot from him. He has not impressed me.
I don't know what else he can do. Like, who else on this team, other than put Randall Cobb back there as a statue and field punts, which that maybe they have to get to at some point. If you want to have any modicum of a return game, like, what else do they do?
Jag brought in a guy just for that reason, and he changed the game.
Yeah, well,
they did that with Tyler Irvin a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they do, but I don't know if they're there yet with a rookie.
I don't think they're there yet either. I think if Amari Rodgers has trouble fielding the ball on Sunday, then they have no choice but to move on. Then they've got to figure out some other alternative. And I don't know who else. You know, I don't know if Malik Taylor could do it. I mean, he seems to be pretty sure-handed. I don't know that he's a punt returner. He's more of a kick returner. Trying to think who else would be a possibility. Boy, nobody is really coming to mind for me right now. Anyway, yeah, they don't have a lot of options.
Yeah, and we could see that especially if Aaron Rodgers plays or not, we could see that coming down to decide the game again. I mean, especially on the other side, when you look at Seattle, who has a return specialist that they drafted for that purpose in Swain. Mm-hmm. So, you know, does that make or break the game yet again? I know that our predictions will all be in the paper this weekend, so you don't have to go that detailed. But just final wrap up, Ryan, we'll start with you. What do you think will be the most important? And you can't say Aaron Rodgers, that's cheating. What do you think will be the most important part to this game this weekend?
Steal the answer before I can get it out. How about the other quarterback, right? I mean, can they, you know, how does Russell Wilson play? If Russell Wilson goes off like he did in that 2019 divisional playoff game, it was remarkable. The Packers up 21-3 at halftime, and Russell Wilson almost on his own brought them back. And if not for a clutch third down sack late in that game for Preston Smith, the Packers season might have ended short of San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So what conditioning is Russell Wilson? What's he look like? I think that's a huge part of this game. And, you know, on the other side, they got to be able to run the ball. I think regardless of quarterback, they got to be able to run the ball.
Spoon?
Yeah. I think the run defense is going to be a huge thing. I don't know how good Chris Carson's going to be. Alex Collins has been okay. The team that runs the balls the best is probably going to win. I mean, I'm not writing Seattle off. I mean, 3-5 maybe, but I just don't think Rodgers will be at his best if he plays. And I think it's going to come down to who can run the ball better.
Run the ball, win the game. It's an adage as old as the game, right?
Yeah.
We will have you covered on Packers News for all of the lead up during the game and game recap. Make sure you're following us there. And thank you once again, guys. Thank you for joining us. Everyone listening, thanks for listening once again to the Green 19 podcast brought to you by JS Online and PackersNews.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.